Friends, Luke chapter 20, page number 1625 in the Church Bible. We'll read from verse 45 through to verse 47. Then in the hearing of all the people, he said, that is Jesus, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who defile widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." These are very strong words. From beginning to end, the Bible warns about false teachers. Now, there have always been, there always will be, false religious leaders who operate for Satan. They operate for the kingdom of darkness, and they operate out of the kingdom of darkness. But they operate as if they are messengers from God. You know, in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul met the elders from the church that we are studying on Sunday mornings. He met the elders of the Ephesian church. And he said to them, "I have not ceased to warn you night and day with tears." For 3 years. For 3 years he was warning them. What was he warning them about? Savage wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things. Heretical teaching is the implication. And so Paul is saying to these Ephesian elders, as he meets them on the beach at Miletus, he is saying, you know, expect the attack to come. And expect it from the outside, and expect it from the inside. False teachers robe themselves in the garments of light. They want people to believe that they represent God. They want people to believe that they know God, that they have insights into spirituality and divine truth and divine wisdom. Beware. 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 Beware of false teachers. They are everywhere. And you who know the truth must protect yourselves from them. And never were false teachers more aggressive than during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when our blessed Master walked this earth, it was as if hell amassed its heaviest assault on the Lord Jesus during those 3 years. And we would understand that. To thwart the gospel purposes of God, Satan unleashed everything he had in his arsenal on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we ask who were the agents of hell, who were the agents of Satan who attempted to thwart the purposes of God, were they the criminals in that culture? Were they the tax collectors? Were they the traitors? Were they prostitutes? Were they the thieves and the thugs? No, beloved. The emissaries, the agents of Satan, were the most devout, the most religious, the most respected religious leaders in Israel. They all came together against the Lord Jesus Christ. They amassed all their ability, all their demonically designed spiritual ability to attack him, to bring him down, to thwart the purposes of God. Keep it in mind, friends, the enemies of the gospel were and always are most formidable when they are religious. And in this case, especially the scribes and the Pharisees, because they controlled the dominant religion of Judaism at that time. They, along with the Sadducees and the Herodians, are relentless, as we have been seeing, in their assault on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 20, Jesus has been engaged in confrontation with these groups who all have made their assaults on him, trying to discredit him publicly. And we know the reason for that. They want to have just cause to have him executed because he was such a threat to the kingdom of darkness and to their own earthly position. And they have tried everything and they haven't succeeded. So we read in verse 40 a couple of weeks ago, they dared not question him more. They are done. They have exhausted all their options. It's over. They ask him no more questions. And then, as we saw last week in verse 41, Jesus begins to ask the questions. And mercifully, compassionately, kindly, he brings up the issue again of the identity of Messiah as not just son of David, but son of God. So in one more compassionate effort, Jesus affirms yet again his deity and the necessity of Messiah being both God and man. And friends, that question and his probing, it was an act of compassion. In a sense, it's a final act of compassion. One more time to speak of his identity as true Messiah, son of David, son of God. And now he's done. He's done talking to the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians, except, of course, by necessity, at his trial. But at this point, he is done speaking to them. I'd even say he's done speaking to the crowds and the people. You see there in verse 45. It says, then in the hearing of the people, he said to his disciples. And so he's speaking to his disciples, but within earshot of the crowd. So even here, you see, friends, there is yet one final message for everybody to hear. He's speaking to the disciples, but also within earshot of the crowd. Beware of the scribes. And he goes out with a warning. This is the final message. Anytime anybody gives a final message, it's got to be an important one, isn't it? And you want to be hanging on to every word. What is the last thing that Jesus has to say to this crowd? We want to know what the last word of the Messiah is, the Lord Jesus Christ is. And beloved, it is a word of warning. Not only a word of warning, but a word of condemnation. Beware of them. They are dangerous. And they will receive the greater condemnation. Very strong words. Now, the text before us has a parallel in Mark chapter 12. Also a brief text in Mark 12. But it has another parallel in Matthew chapter 23. Only in Matthew chapter 23, it takes up the entire chapter. The full text of what Jesus says about the Pharisees and the scribes, that full text, the full blast, the full condemnation, is found in Matthew 23. Now, what we'll do is that we'll look at these verses in Luke 20 tonight. And then over the coming weeks, we will go to the full text in Matthew 23. And we'll look at that. It's a blistering denunciation, a blistering diatribe on false religion. Will we find it to be without compassion? No. Remember, in chapter 19, verse 41, when Jesus came to the city of Jerusalem, what did he do? He wept. And as we heard again, he declared to them, as we heard again last week, he declared to them that he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of David. That is a merciful effort to declare who he is. And so, friends, I want you to understand that these were days of sadness on his part and full of compassion as he gives invitation after invitation to them to believe. But you understand that when compassion is exhausted and invitations have ended, you have condemnation. So Luke only gives us a snippet of what was going on. Matthew gives us the whole gambit, and we will look at that warning from Matthew 23. And we'll come back to Luke 21 about this time next year. We'll take up Luke again. I'm only joking. Over a few weeks, we'll look at Matthew 23. Anyway, just to set the scene by way of introduction before we turn our attention in a couple of weeks' time to Matthew, 3 points. A caution, characterization, condemnation. So let's look at the caution, very simple. Beware of the scribes. In Matthew, we'll see from his lengthy record, the Lord's denunciation is beware of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, scribes were Pharisees. They were the law experts. Not all Pharisees were scribes, but all the scribes were Pharisees, if you see what I mean. They were, there were non-scribal Pharisees, but scribes were among the bunch of Pharisees. They were the experts in the law. They were the legalistic, self-righteous sect. In fact, the Jews had a saying. The saying went like this: Moses received the law and gave it to Joshua. Joshua received the law and gave it to the elders. The elders received the law and gave it to the prophets. The prophets received the law and gave it to the Pharisees and the scribes. They were the treasurers of the law of God. They were the ones given the trust. They were the experts. They were the lawyers of Israel. Now remember, with Israel, you have a theocratic kingdom where all law is viewed as God's law. Not just biblical law, but the law of tradition, the laws that had, you know, grown up through the years and through the centuries, all that composite of law was viewed in a theocratic way. It's all the law of God. So those who knew the law of God, interpreted the law of God, and applied the law of God were the lawyers in Israel. They were not just giving Pharisees and rabbis and priests and others an insight into the meaning of Scripture. They were also interpreting all the law, not only its interpretation, but also in its application. They were the lawyers in Israel. They cared for all matters legal. They were the dominant force in Jerusalem and Judaism, not only religiously, but socially. They handled all legal matters for people, property, estates, contracts, resolutions. All of those things fell into the hands of these lawyers. Because they were the agents of God, they carried with them tremendous weight and trust. But Jesus warns everybody, both the crowd and the disciples he's speaking to beware. Take heed. Guard yourself against. Why are they such a threat? Because they are not godly. They do not know God. They do not have spiritual wisdom. They are destructive. They are agents of Satan sent to fight and to thwart the purposes of God. Beware of them, because they are always going to be one thing on the outside and something else entirely on the inside. You know, that's why Psalm 1 says this at the very beginning of the book of Psalms, lesson number 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Don't assemble with them. That's why we're not part of churches together. People who say one thing, and yet when you examine it in the light of Scripture, there is something seriously wrong. Beware. Beware of those who appear to be religious. Beware of those who appear to be gospel preachers. When you examine what they're saying in the light of the Word of God, you wonder, are they emissaries of Satan? Don't assemble with them. And from the caution comes the characterization. Here's how he characterizes them. They desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who defile widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Now all of that can be summed up in one word: hypocrites. All people in false religion are hypocrites. They don't know God, and the Lord Jesus Christ pulls no punches. The main element is that they are all spiritual phonies. They are all spiritual frauds. They are all hypocrites. Now his audience, he's preaching to the, speaking to the disciples, the crowd are listening on, and they would be familiar with the kind of things that these guys did. Briefly, look at each of them. Firstly, they like to walk around and long robes. They began to develop robes that were very different than other robes. They were robes that had certain markings on them, expensive robes that would identify them as a holy people. We'll see some of that when we go to Matthew chapter 23. Mark, sometimes of these false religions, you know, they prate about in their fancy robes and they want to be lauded as particularly holy. You see it within High Anglicanism. You see it within Roman Catholicism. You see it within the Greek and Russian Orthodox churches and Coptic churches. People who love these long robes, the special markings on them, and their big hats. But secondly, they love greetings in the marketplace. You know, as these guys moved in and out of people in the daily life, in daily public life, they expected to be addressed with titles of dignity. And again, we'll see a fuller treatment of that in Matthew 23. They wanted to be called Rabbi, meaning exalted teacher, excellency, most knowledgeable one, most wise. They also wanted to be called Father. So not only are they exalted in their wisdom, but they are the source of spiritual life. As far as they are concerned, they are the source of spiritual truth. Thirdly, they love not only the long robes, the greetings in the marketplaces, they love the best seats in the synagogues. You know, they had elevated platforms in the front of the synagogue, and the important scribes and Pharisees would sit up on those elevated platforms, recognized as the experts in the law. And visiting scribes coming from another place, you know, visiting a synagogue, they would expect to be ushered up to the elevated place. And fourthly, they love the best places at feasts, any kind of special occasion. They wanted the place of honor, which was next to the host. They want to be the center of attention, the most honored of all. And you get the picture, friends. It's all about pride. You know, all four of those things have to do with pride, elevating themselves. That's what they seek. And false leaders are after this. And it turns the corner with the fifth one, verse 47, who defar widows' houses. Now, what is this? First of all, let me just tell you the word defar. It's a very strong word. It means to consume. Literally, it means to eat, to defar all your food. It's literal meaning. But metaphorically, to defar or consume means they plunder up, they consume widows' houses. They go after the defenseless, the most defenseless. They're savage. They go after the unprotected and the weak. And they defar widows' houses. They are merciless. And then the sixth one, for a pretense, they make long prayers. Now, absolutely nothing wrong with a long prayer. But there is something seriously wrong with praying to be seen. And again, as I say, we'll see all of that opened up and developed in Matthew 23, where Jesus, lets fly at them. Hypocrites, hypocrites, hypocrites. You're familiar with that chapter. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And he's relentless. And we'll unfold that full discourse starting in a couple of weeks' time. But finally, before we meet around the table, we saw the caution and the characterization. Now the condemnation. These will receive greater condemnation. Now you see, friends, the key is greater, not lesser because they are religious. You know, the Lord isn't going to like them all of a sudden because they're religious, because they're good, because they're moral, because, you know, we're told that God loves all religions and all religions lead to God and all religions love God. No, friends, you see what he says here. Jesus pronounces on them, on these religious folk. Jesus pronounces on them a more severe damnation, greater judgment, a far greater, an excessive, a more abundant judgment, or if you will, an extraordinary condemnation, more than the usual. You see, religious people get a greater damnation, not a lesser one. And you see, far from pleasing God somehow because they have lived up to whatever truth they had, they receive a greater condemnation. Now, we hear a lot about that today, don't we? You know, people and other religions, all roads lead to God, etc. You know, and as long as, you know, that person in the other religion lives in all good conscience, you know, before his God, somehow pleasing, just living up to whatever level of truth they have, as long as they do that, you know, with a degree of, you know, sincerity, God will embrace them at the end of the day. Doesn't Jesus nail that right here? They receive not commendation. They receive the greater condemnation. Especially if they have trampled underfoot the blood of the covenant and counted it an unholy thing. You see, it's clear, isn't it? If you're in the wrong religion, you're going to be condemned. If you spread error, if you spread a wrong religion, you're going to receive a far greater suffering and damnation in hell. These people are dangerous. Beware of them. Be warned. They're hypocrites. They're worthy of condemnation. Friends, don't let us forget, they need to hear the gospel also. That they're peddling their false religion. And they need to hear the truth. And how are they going to hear unless we share it with them? You know, the JWs will receive the greater condemnation along with, you know, the Romanists and the liberal Anglicans and the liberal Methodists and the liberal Baptists, all those who peddle, you know, false religion. They'll receive a greater condemnation. We need to be praying for them. We need to be speaking to them. We need to be telling them about the true way of salvation that's found in the Bible. Tell them what they must know. That they're under sentence of divine condemnation. And they must know for their sake and for the sake of those who need to be protected from them. You know, as the JW stand with their little trolleys and their long faces tripping them because they've no joy and have nothing to say and nothing to offer. But people do stop and take their literature and they're being led astray. And so, have you ever stopped and chatted to a JW? Have you ever equipped yourself to be able to turn to the text in the Bible and say, this is what the Bible says about the deity of Christ? Have you ever done that? Have you ever challenged them? You know, these people receive the greater condemnation. And as Paul says to the Corinthians, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we should be persuading men.